The following teaching is brought to you by Crosspoint Church. For sermon notes and other resources, visit gotocrosspoint.com.
Hey, Crosspoint! How you guys doing out there today? So good to be with you. But I'm wondering today, big question, how many of you today are happy? How many of you want to be happy? What's the stuff out there that makes you happy? I asked a bunch of you guys that this week. Crosspoint Polling Central got me the results of our poll here. Here's the stuff that you guys wrote down that you sent to us, stuff that makes you happy. You put down stuff like chocolate makes me happy. My family makes me happy. Beach with my family. Donuts. Donuts at the beach. Fishing. Seeing other people happy and joyous. People talk about hearing their kids laugh and enjoy each other. And then those, you've seen those videos, right? That thing where those little babies just do those belly laughs and they just giggle. Doesn't that just bring joy into your heart, into your soul? People wrote down good books, good food that I don't have to cook, one person sent in, ice cream, coffee, flowers, big old trees, the moon, waterfalls, butterflies. One guy wrote down, not being in quarantine would make me really happy. I want to talk to you today about what it means for us to experience happiness, how we can keep calm and trust God, how we can be happy despite our circumstances. Let me pray. Jesus, pray for the people that are here today, watching in a variety of settings, whether it's on a couch, around a breakfast counter, outside, on a laptop, by the pool. God, wherever we're at today, meet us here. Focus our attention here. God, by your Holy Spirit, help us. Help me to do something and say something that would be so helpful for wherever we're at right now, whether our life is terrific or terrible. Amen. What it means to be happy. Look, guys, here at Crosspoint, we're all about Jesus and all about the book he said to build your life around, the Bible. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about happiness. And you'll be surprised sometimes. There's a ton it has to say. In fact, it's going to tell us over and over again, be happy. Be crazy happy, no matter what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, find one. The words may be up here on the screen. You can take a look on the screen. You can also get your own Bible or get your mobile device out. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Peter writes to us, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad." He says, don't freak out about it. Trials are just part of life. When they come, don't freak out. He says, be glad, and not just be glad, but be very glad. And he says the same thing as he opens up this letter to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. So, be truly glad. That's like be crazy glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. When it comes to trials, when it comes to trials and happiness, the Bible's going to tell us, hey, trials are just part of life, and don't be surprised. There's a certainty to trials, and there's going to be a quantity to them. It's not going to be just once in a while. You might have many trials that you go through in your life. And I guarantee you that in that poll that I took, nobody wrote down the stuff that makes me happy is trials and suffering. Nobody has that down, because like you, guys, I'm just like that. When it comes to happiness and trials, I'm happy if they fly by me and they go by me and I don't get any on me. I'm happy if I have to go through them and there's some difficulty, I can grin and bear it and suck it up for a while, but I get really happy when the trial goes away, if the trial gets through quickly. I want to tell you this today, though. The Bible is going to give us a very different perspective. Peter here One of Jesus' first followers is going to tell us, hey, it's not just be happy if, it's be happy in the trials. No matter how crazy or tumultuous your life might be, and your life might be terrible right now, this COVID crisis that we're in, some of you are doing good, some of you are doing bad, some of you are doing bad and we're going through trials before all this happened, and this COVID crisis, this quarantine that we're in right now, probably just put a big magnifying glass, kind of turn the heat up on the trials. I'm going to tell you today why you, no matter if your life is terrific or terrible, can be supremely happy no matter what. I want to make the case for you today. If you're not yet a Christian, you're going to hear this and go, man, how cool would it be if what that guy's saying is true? Even if you don't believe it yet, you're going to hope with all your heart that it's true, because trials are a part of life, man. They just come, and they come. Sometimes we can see them coming, and sometimes they come out of nowhere. I'm going to tell you today how you can be supremely happy no matter what. I'll give you three big ideas, three big reasons why you can be supremely happy no matter what. You can trust God. They come right out of verse 7 here in 1 Peter chapter 1. He tells us, be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Underline that or boldface that in your Bible. It's genuine. It's being tested. That's an important word there. As fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, through many tests, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. I want to tell you today, man, the first reason we should be excited and happy in the trials is that the bad turns out for our good. It always has a purpose, Peter tells us here. There in verse 7, he says, it shows that your faith is genuine. Maybe you want to write this down under the bad turns out for good. Three ways, three good things that come out of the bad and the trials. It certifies that our faith is real. If it never gets tested, how do you know that it's real? If it's always smooth sailing, how does anybody know that it's real? And the truth is, testing is good, because the things that are important in life always have to be tested. Man, the brake systems on your car were tested and tested and tested over and over again at the factories where they built that car and where they built those brake systems. The building materials on your house were tested and certified to be sturdy and real. The baby seat in your car was tested to make sure that it would bend and not break. Maybe write this down. Testing proves that it can be trusted. Testing proves that it can be trusted. And when your faith is tested, you can be happy in the midst of that trial, because trials will either melt you or they will make you. And what will happen there is you go through that and you come through that and go, you know what? I stood strong in this. And it certifies, it shows that, man, there's something real going on here. It's not just because life is good and wonderful and beautiful all the time, but it doesn't just certify it for you. Men and women here of Crosspoint, there are people watching us in the world knowing that you're a follower of Jesus, and they wonder, is that stuff really real? Because I don't know if it's real when life is just breezing along and your health is going great and your finances are great and everything's beautiful and wonderful in your life. I don't know if it's real until the wheels come off. See, I don't know it's true until it's tested. So it's a powerful testimony that it's real. That's one of the first things that God brings good out of the bad. The second good thing that comes out of the bad is quality control. That's the second good thing that comes out of the bad under this first big idea that the bad turns out for good. It says in verse 7 there that that the trials don't just show that our faith is real. It takes what's real and it makes it even better. It purifies the gold. Like that gold that you get out of the mountain or something the miner gets out of the mountain, it's valuable, but it doesn't get really valuable until it gets heat on it, until they put it in the crucible and they heat it up really hot and they scrape off all the impurities. Another example of this I got when I was over in Ireland a few years ago. We were in Dublin with some friends. It was fascinating to be there, and we took a tour of the Jameson whiskey plant, and they told us how whiskey's made and the distillation process and all that. And probably got to take a little break here for just a second, because some of you are going to think, hey, Pastor Steve just said it's okay to drink whiskey. Look, I'm not here to debate alcohol for you today, but don't be getting drunk on whiskey right now because Pastor Steve used it in a message. Getting back to the thing here, they talked about how that whiskey is made. They put all the water and the grain, all that stuff in there, and then they distill it, which means they add heat and pressure to it. And as they do that, you know, they said the distillation process, here's what it does. It gets all the nastiness out of there and gets all that stuff and burns that off. And then it also brings out the richness of the flavor. That's exactly what trials do for us. Gets the nastiness out of us, and it brings out the richness and the beauty of this relationship with God that we have and all the good, amazing things that He's made us to be and do just get better and better and better. And here's what's fascinating. They told us at the Jameson whiskey plant, they said our whiskey is triple distilled. Not just purified once, but triple distilled. That means they heat it up, and just when the whiskey thinks it's done and we're good now, more heat and more pressure. Ever been there in your life? Been at a place where you went through some trials and thought, whew, got through that, and okay, some good things happened there, and then it got hotter and it lasted longer, and you're going, what is going on here, God? What are you doing here? You hate me? What if, though, we could see trials as a way that it shows our faith is real and it's purifying us as a sign not of God's disapproval, but as a sign of God's love and blessing, and that God would love me enough and love you enough to love you enough to allow you to go through something, to allow you to go through that heat and that trial, to draw out the nastiness out of you, and maybe even let you go through it for a while longer than you think, hey, I'm done, I'm good. And God says, no, a little longer, because I want to draw out more. I want to bring out more beauty and more goodness out of you. When's a time God used a trial like that in your life? On the platform you're watching this on today, the social media places you're watching, in the message center there, maybe just jot down, man, it was I was 27 years old, or I got cancer, or we lost, bankruptcy, or I don't know, my kids did some terrible things and all that stuff. When was that for you? I remember a time like that for me. I was going through some stuff. It was a dark, desperate time, and I just felt awful and terrible. And I remember thinking, man, can't imagine going through this. And it was sitting there kind of crying, and so I'm probably sobbing a little bit, just feeling ugh and terrible about this time. And I sat there and stood there by myself in a room, and there was this moment where I didn't experience happiness because the trial didn't go away for a long time, but there was a joy in my heart and soul knowing that God says, I'm going to use this for some good in your life. And I thought, man, how do people go through this without knowing that God's in this and God's doing something good and beautiful in this for me? God brings good out of the bad. He certifies and tests it. He does quality control. And that joy that comes in the midst of the trial is this. There's a great song by the Hillsong United Band that says, even when it hurts. And one of the lines in there says, even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you. And I know some of you are going through stuff right now. And it isn't getting better anytime soon. And you don't know when it's going to get better, if it's going to get better, but there's joy in there, because even when it hurts, I'm going to praise you, God. There can be joy, not if it goes away, but joy in the midst of it. So there's certification, there's quality control. And then I want to tell you too, the third good thing that God brings good out of the bad is the guaranteed return on investment, the guaranteed ROI. We go through suffering all the times in our life for different reasons. We sometimes bring it on ourselves. We run and work out. We go to the gym. Not because that's fun. And a few of you are freaks out there and you just go, don't you love working out? And I always think, no, who would enjoy this? That runner's high they talk about, like, dude, you smoke marijuana while you're running or something? I don't know. It makes me crazy. But we go through suffering at the gym or working out. We restrict ourselves from good food and, you know, diet kind of stuff. Even budgetary things. And we go through pain and suffering with our budget and spending kinds of things. And we do that for a benefit. That same thing is true. Peter's going to tell us at the end of verse 7. He says that the good that God brings out of the bad is that there'll be much praise and glory and honor, not just right here, right now, but someday in the future. There can be a wow, not always about right now, but because of what God's going to do in the future. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says it this way. He says, our light and momentary trials are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. So we keep our eyes not on what is seen, not on the spreadsheet, and I wonder how I'm going to pay these bills, not on the the medical stuff I'm going through, and I know also kinds of you going through stuff like that right now, not on the trials of my family and my kids breaking my heart right now. I don't keep my eyes on what's seen. I keep my eyes on what's not seen. There's a return on investment. There's a glory that far outweighs them all. And when I think when we see that, we're going to see someday, we're going to see suffering as a privilege. We're going to go, man, God, let me suffer, because look what it did. It didn't just do some things in my life right here, right now. There was an eternal impact that's going to last in multiplied ways for a kajillion, bazillion years. That's the first great reason you can be happy, is that God brings good out of the bad. And I gave you three great good things that God does. But I also want to give you a second great reason to be happy no matter what, is that the good can never be taken. The good can never be taken. Think about this for a minute with me here today. Think about the things that bring you happiness right now. Everything that can bring you happiness pretty much in this life, everything that can bring you happiness in this life can be taken, and it can be taken like that. Your money, your health, relationships in your family. Shoot, even this COVID crisis thing. Remember 3 months ago, we were planning graduations for our kindergartners, for our middle schoolers and high schoolers, our college students, and all that, just all the partying and that stuff went away. Some of us had vacation things planned. Shoot, we had a vacation thing planned. I wasn't supposed to be here with you this weekend. I was supposed to be in Hawaii. And just like that, it can be taken away. Nothing is certain in this life. And man, even when you get some of those good things in life, and even if you get that great vacation or the great house or all that, and there's that rush of that joy and the excitement, but then Ecclesiastes says it's kind of like grasping the air. It like it slips through our hands, like it provides that momentary wow, and then we got to keep chasing it. We keep wondering, are we going to get it again? Here's why you can be happy today. Everything in this life can be taken from you. Jesus never can. It says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Here's the gospel proclamation. The good news is this, that the guilt of my treason, the guilt of my treason against the creator of the universe has been taken care of, has been bought, has been paid for. I've been declared guilty before God, and God, because He loves me so much, became a human being. In my place, He lived the life that I was supposed to live. And then He died in my place, the death that I deserved to die on a cross. And He rose again from the dead. And He tells me this, here's the deal that He makes, the good that can never be taken from you. He says, I'll make the great exchange. I'll give you my righteousness, and you give me your wreckedness. And here's the beautiful thing. Someday when you stand before God, you have a decision to make. Am I going to stand before God with my sorry record and say, well, I hope this counts and I hope you're right in the curve? Man, you can stand with confidence today, knowing that your relationship with God is absolutely secure because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. That can never be taken. Your standing is secure with Him, which means you have a relationship with God right now that will last forever. And I'm wondering today if perhaps there's a person or two out here today watching, and you just know, man, I've been trying to find happiness. I've been trying to find peace and purpose in my life, and I've been chasing everything. And maybe it's time today for the race to be over and to come to a place and just say, I want that. Here's all that means. If you believe in your heart, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God and that He died on the cross to forgive you of all your sin, and then He rose again and He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and you surrender to Him today and say, I just believe that and I want your righteousness to count for me, you become a child of God. If that's you today, you can raise your hand right now on your couch or your pool, wherever you are, and just say yes in your heart. And would you just tell us yes with your mouth right now by raising your hand? Post it on the social media places on Facebook or YouTube in the comments there. You can also probably be on the message on one of the platforms we stream this on. A little button to click there. And then, man, let us pray for you about that. Let us pray for you about that decision you're making right now. Let us pray for you about the trials you're going through right now. There's a prayer button there. You can post it in the comment sections of the various social media platforms. Click on the live prayer thing if you're watching with us on the church online platform. We have people here that would love to talk to you about what it means to know God personally, about what it means to experience happiness and joy even in the midst of trials and suffering, and to pray for you in the midst of those. Man, we can be excited and happy because the bad turns out for good. The good can never be taken because of who Jesus is. And then number three, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Peter talks about that here. He says this in chapter 1, verse 4. He says, we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Everything else here changes and decays. He says, what you've got is secured for you forever, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. Be truly glad. Be stoked. Not just, well, I have joy in my heart because Jesus saved me. Man, this is exquisite, unspeakable joy because of heaven someday. And now I get it. Heaven can be tricky for some of us because of some of the symbols of heaven that the Bible uses and the Renaissance paintings use, and we have seen the pictures of people in diapers or togas floating around on clouds playing harps, and we go, look, those are just symbols. And back in those days, those were powerful symbols of an image of what it meant of exquisite joy and beauty and power and happiness that people have. Some of those symbols don't always apply here today, so don't take those symbols literally. They're not meant to be taken literally. They're a figurative expression. I heard a guy say one time, C.S. Lewis said it like this, if we take those symbols literally, we might as well think that when Jesus told us to be like doves, He meant that we were to lay eggs. I was like, come on, man. That's not the deal. What if, though, the best is yet to come? That as good as this is right now, the best is yet to come. And for some of you today hearing that are going through some difficult, tumultuous, terrible times, this is the best news. Because I can't promise you that this life is going to turn out great for you. But man, there is exquisite joy and pleasure coming. There's a song that is popular in the culture. They did it, I think, 10, 12 years ago. I Can Only Imagine. And I hear that song and I love it, but I think, no, you can't. You can't even imagine the joy and the pleasure that are coming, because we have pleasure and joy here sometimes. C.S. Lewis said it like this, man, we're living in the Shadowlands. The greatest joy and pleasure we can experience, food, vacations, sex, whatever it might be, are just a shadow of the reality of the joy that is coming for us. And I think we're going to get someday to the next life, and we'll look back with fondness to this life. And I don't want to have like you should feel guilty for experiencing joy and pleasure now, but I think we're going to look back at it and go, we thought heaven was going to be boring. Oh, well, what are we going to do in heaven for a million years? See, what's going to happen? Bible tells us that in the next life, we're going to get a redeemed, transformed personhood. And our capacity to experience joy and pleasure will not be limited by what we have right here, right now, in our finite bodies, broken by sin and rebellion. The capacity is going to be exponentially expanded. So our capacity to enjoy wealth and joy and pleasure is going to be infinitely and exponentially expanded. Pastor Tim's talked to us about this one time. He talked about being at Disneyland for the first time with his kids and out there in the plaza, and they were so overjoyed about the plaza, they didn't want to leave the plaza. And he wanted to go, look, you guys have no idea. You think this is good? You can't imagine what Space Mountain is like. And what soaring over California is like. You can't imagine the Haunted Mansion. You can't imagine what's inside there. And then it occurred to me this week. Imagine that you're going on vacation and you get on the plane and you walk past first class and business class, and you're back there in coach. And they got screens there and they can watch movies as long as you want, and they bring you food and all that kind of stuff, and you go through it and it's pretty good, and like, hey, all right. And then the plane lands on the destination. Imagine though how silly it would be to go walking through coach and go, I finally arrived in first class, and sit down in first class and have them bring you food and have them bring you devices and champagne and all cushions and the enjoying first class on the plane. When outside the plane, Barbados is waiting. Costa Rica is waiting. Venice is waiting. This is what heaven is going to be. God wants you to know, man, this is good. This is good. But if you think this is good, the best is yet to come. Man, you can be happy today. You can have exquisite joy and happiness today, whether your life is terrible, tumultuous, or terrific, for these three great reasons: that the bad can always turn out to be good, the good can never be taken, and the best is yet to come.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more resources, check out gotocrosspoint.com.